so good. Your love leaves the 99 to chase down the one. Father, we thank you for that great, amazing love that is faithful, that love that is true. And this, Father, we pray in your precious and holy name.
Good morning, church. You guys can have a seat. We are glad that you guys are with us this morning and worshiping with us together. My name is Pastor Jordan, and I am the Family Ministries Pastor here at Grace Church. And I'm honored to be able to stand up here and bring the Word of God before you. If you have a Bible with you, you guys can go ahead and turn it on your phones or whatever. We'll kind of be camping out today in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 in particular, and we'll be in chapter 10 for a little bit as well. I'm thrilled that I get to be here with you guys, and you guys have been an incredible family to the Damon family in particular, and it's just a joy to be here. But today I get to speak to you on the topic of leaving a legacy. And so before I go anywhere, and you've already heard those words, I'd love for you guys to think of someone in your life when you hear the word legacy. Who is someone in your life that has left a legacy in you? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a mom or a dad, maybe it's a close friend, or a mentor, or someone who's just poured into you, whoever it might be. Try to hone in on that person right now. When I think of someone who's left a legacy in my life, my mind automatically goes to my dad, and I still say today, I wish I can grow up to be like my dad. That's the kind of man he is. He loves people, and he cares for people like nothing else. The way he would parent, I remember there was always a lesson with anything there was. If we messed up or if we got something right, he would always take the time to like sit down and teach us a lesson through it. And he would do it just in this loving and kind way. He's patient. He listens. He's full of wisdom. And so I could go through hundreds of different stories in my life where I could point to, but he's the one where it's just my entire life. He's just left this major legacy in my life. And he's been a pastor as long as I've known him, and which is part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today, because it's a legacy that he's left in me. Or maybe it's a small moment, not a lifelong moment. Maybe for me, there was this one instance in kindergarten. Yes, I still remember this. Which shows how important it was for me in my life. Take you back to my kindergarten classroom in Indiana, northeast Indiana, and it was lunchtime. We were all, the classmates were pulling out the lunch boxes, and I had no idea what was going on, but there was a sophomore in high school who went to our church. He was a friend of our family's and a friend of mine. He comes walking in with a big bag of McDonald's just for me and him. And he just wanted to sit down and eat lunch with me. And that's it. For no other reason, just to show me that he cares for me. And to show me that he loves me. And it was still to this day one of those moments in my life that I remember. And it's left a legacy. And I know that because when I was in college, I got to be a leader over our middle school ministry at our church that I was attending. And I got to do the same thing for a group of guys that was in my middle school class. I just randomly showed up at their school one day and I asked their teacher, "Hey, can I take a portion of their lunchtime and just enjoy lunch with them?" And I brought them pizza and whatnot. I still get to stay in touch with those guys today and to see how they're living their lives, and it's fun. So I know that one moment made a legacy in my life because I continued that on. So when you're thinking of your life and the people that have made an impact on you, I guess I have a question. Who in your life has the greatest potential to leave an impact on you? And as it relates to my story, and I think what makes more sense and the answer to that is really the people that are closest to you, right? The people that you're surrounded with, the people that you see day in and day out, they have the greatest potential to receive an impact by you in their lives. And today, I'll be diving more in the other side of that, and not who can leave an impact on you, but who in your life can you leave an impact on as well. But to look at that, we're going to recap Joshua's life. And so we're not going to read through all of Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua to see all of it. So I kind of bullet pointed some things in Joshua's life where when I think of Joshua, these are some of the things that I think of. And if you don't know big picture, Moses was the leader of the Israelites, and Joshua actually got to be a mentor, or Moses was a mentor to Joshua, and he kind of got to live life with him and to journey with him through that process. But anyway, I kind of divided it up into two sections here. The first part is the things that Joshua got to do or accomplish before he was the leader of Israel. And then there was a few things that happened after he became the leader when Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land. So here's a few things that I wrote down. This is beforehand. He led many victorious battles against the Amalekites in particular. He was among the 12 chosen to spy out the land of Canaan. And that's no small feat. Israel was millions of people. And he was among the top 12 that were chosen to go scout out this new land that God said, this is going to be yours. And so he was respected in the community and he was well-loved. We know from Scripture that he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by God to serve and lead alongside Moses long before he actually became the leader. And we'll look at that next here. But we also know in Scripture that he followed the Lord fully. And then in Numbers 11:28, it actually says that he was the attendant of Moses from his youth. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth. So we know that he had someone in his life from a young age who is pouring into him, who is living out his life, understanding that there's someone who's coming after me. And I know that because Moses prayed a prayer about that later, and we'll look into it. So those are some of the things that happened before he became the leader of Israel. But let's look at some of the things that came after. And one of them is the obvious one. I kind of sang it in one of the songs that Joshua, and can we sing the song? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, right? That's one of the stories that I think of, that he led his the nation of Israel around the walls of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. He led Israel into the promised land. So sometimes we think that only Moses got to lead Israel across a sea that was parted by God, but Joshua got to do the same thing. Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River, and he got to also experience God's miraculous moment there of parting the waters. And then one of my favorite stories, and we're going to talk about this story a little later on, but he actually was in the middle of a battle, and he prayed this pretty significant prayer where he asked the Lord to stop the sun in its orbit, and it did. And he was able to finish the battle and win because of that pretty magnanimous prayer that he prayed. It's pretty incredible to hear Joshua's life. And when I see that, there's no doubt in my mind that he had someone in his life like a Moses who was leaving a legacy in his life. I can see the marks on his life where there was someone that he had in his life that he could look to. And so as we think of our lives, as we think of the people in our lives and the stories in our lives, what are some of the stories or the markers? I only chose 8 of them from Joshua's life, but as we look back at our lives, what are some of the things in your life that you would want to share about or tell a story about of the moments that you'll be remembered by? And I want to challenge us to think that way, because as it relates to leaving a legacy, we are leaving a legacy whether we like it or not. People are watching you. If you have children, your children are watching you. If you're in your workspace, these people are watching you. And you have a greater potential than you realize to leave an impact on the people around you than you think. And it's more important than you think as well. And even in me giving you guys the bullet point list of Joshua's life, it's too easy, because we do that sometimes in our own lives. It's too easy to miss the point. Because sometimes we think that it's all about those stories and telling all the wonderful things that God has done in our lives, but we have to be genuine and real too. There's things in our lives that aren't pretty to share. There's things in our life that are just storms and trials that it's just not fun. But the point in Joshua's life in particular, and Moses' life as well, is not that Joshua had a great mentor. It's not that he could control any of that. It's not that he could share these great stories from generation to generation. The point is that they got to proclaim God's message for his plan and his agenda, because that's what was going on here. God had an incredible plan for the nation of Israel, and he just happened to use a Moses. He just happened to use a Joshua. And he just happens to want to use you and me too. But that's where we lose sight of things sometimes. Sometimes it's all about the story, and it's all about how God's going to use me. It has nothing to do with that, church. It has everything to do with God's agenda and his plan and his mission. And we see that all throughout Scripture, that yes, God uses people, but it's his plan and his agenda, and he's looking for someone in particular. And it begs the question, what kind of person is God looking for to be a part of his plan and his agenda? Sign me up, because I want to be on his plan and his agenda, not mine. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." There's the answer. That's who he's looking for. Church, our God is looking for someone who has open hands, saying, "Use me as you see fit." He's looking for a committed heart. That's one of those things that Joshua had. He understood that his story was about God's story. And he made sure that in everything that he did, he pointed to the one that mattered the most. And so I wonder, as it relates to parenting, this is my life phase right now. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and so I think through this lens as well. But as it relates to parenting, I wonder what would happen to our kids' perspective if they saw their parents constantly giving credit to where credit was due. I wonder what would happen if they saw their parents constantly giving praise and glory to their God and King, no matter what the situation or circumstance. And one of the stories that I love sharing from our time in Haiti, my wife and I lived in Haiti. This was 3+ years ago. But there was a moment, every night actually, we would go to take a walk up to the mountain behind our house. We would just go up there, honestly, just to witness the splendor of our King and the creation. It was just a beautiful sight. And this one night we went up, and on our way up, I started hearing singing, which wasn't really abnormal, because which was awesome. people would just go up the mountain and just sing and lift their hands up and praise their King on the top of these mountaintops. And I would go in the morning sometimes, and no joke, there were like 3 or 4 mountaintops that I could literally see and hear just voices singing praises to their King. But this moment was special to me because there was a mom, and she had her 3 little kids there, and they were pretty little, she was just singing, and she was full of joy. And it's so humbling to me to think of that moment, and all I'm looking at are these kids watching their mom singing praises to her King. And I know the people that lived in our town, that it wasn't a wealthy area, so I'm pretty sure that this woman was the poor of the poor. Excuse me. And I'm pretty sure she didn't have much. She probably didn't have a job, and her full-time job was to take care of these kiddos on her own. So I could fill in the blanks of what her story, what her life looked like. And all I'm seeing is her kids watching her give glory and praise to her King. And I think, like, gosh, what kind of a legacy is she leaving? That's incredible. Her kids are watching her, and it's no matter what's going on in their life, they're seeing that I'm going to still lift my hands because I know who's in charge, and I know what the story is all about. So as it relates to leaving a legacy, that's one of the stories that I love, but the part that it gets even better. On our way down, I got to carry her little baby down the mountain just to help her down, and I wanted to start a conversation with her and just to get to know her a little bit. And maybe I asked some simple questions, some obvious questions, just to start the conversation. I asked her, "What were you doing?" And she kind of looked at me like, "That's a stupid question. I was singing to Jesus." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I know." And then I asked another stupid question. And I said, "Why were you doing that?" It was just to start a conversation, guys. But she gave me that stupid look again, like, and these words that she said have changed how I see my life. She said, "I have Jesus in me, therefore I sing." So simple, right? And she looked at me like I was stupid. Like, why are you even asking me that question? I have Jesus in me, therefore I sing. I wonder what would happen to your life and my life if we lived that way, if we lived that simply, if we could honestly say that I have Jesus in my life, therefore I fill in the blank. Because when I read through Scripture, a lot of it's pretty clear. Yeah, there's a lot of it that I don't understand still, but there's a lot of it that's pretty clear. So I'd encourage you, church, do what's already clear. I have Jesus in me, therefore I... Singing is a part of it, but what else? Fill in the blank. And I love that story. Another one, and this is a humbling dad moment. I don't even know why I did this. I was putting my daughter to bed, and then my wife wasn't even in the room, but I was doing something that was like pitting my daughter against me and my wife. But I asked her, like, who loves you the most? I was trying to get like her to say daddy, you know, and not mommy. And I was trying to see what she was going to say. And I asked her, who loves you the most, daddy? And she said, Jesus. And I'm like, ah, I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming, but it totally got me, and I loved hearing that. And it was a proud dad moment, but an awful dad moment at the same time. I was so proud because she knew what was true. And I pray that she knows that, not just from mommy and daddy pouring into her, that Jesus truly does love her the most, but from her small group leaders back here on Sunday mornings, or from other people that are pouring into her, grandma and grandpa, teaching her those same truths. But she's growing up understanding a core truth and a core principle that Jesus loves her more than anyone ever could. And I share that story because that one simple truth is going to go a long way, and I can't wait to see how God is going to use her. But it challenges us to think a little differently when we're talking about leaving a legacy. When we're thinking of the people that I have an opportunity to leave a legacy in, I've already shared with you guys the two of the people that have left a legacy in my life, but there's so many more that I didn't even mention. But as it relates to parenting as well with your children, if you have children, do your children know that you do what you do because Christ is in you? Or maybe it's someone in your workspace. Do the people in your workspace that you work around, do they know that you do what you do because Christ is in you? I could say that for any environment, any situation that you're in. Too often we hide it and we wait until we get to church on Sunday mornings to share what we believe and what we know and what we love. But do the people around you know that you do what you do because Christ is in you? Numbers 27:15 is a document of Moses praying something to the Lord. And he says this. He says, Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. So one, we know that he cared for the people of Israel. Moses loved and cared for them. But two, what I love most about this passage is that he was praying fervently for someone to come after him. And what's interesting, that this happened many, many years before Joshua ended up leading the nation of Israel. And so this is in the middle of his leadership, greatest leadership moments. He's still on his knees thinking the big picture, praying the big picture. And so a challenge to you is, are you, if you have kids, are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for your kids' salvation? Because they're the ones coming after you. For the people that are around you, if you're around younger generation, or if you're around the people in your workspace, are you praying for people in particular? I think Moses has set a good example for us to live by. Because he understood the heart of it. He understood that he's not going to be here forever, just like you and I are not going to be here forever. And I want to start thinking God's plan, not my plan. And one of the best ways I can start doing that is praying for the people that are around me, because I understand the story is much bigger than you and I could ever imagine. Something that someone said is so simple, but little prayer equals little power. And the opposite is true. Much prayer equals much power. I just got a text yesterday from a buddy here at church. I don't know if they're here today yet. But he said, and I'm just calling on all my prayer warriors. One of my buddies is going in for a pretty invasive surgery, and we don't know what the outcome's going to look like. I just said, praying right now, and I got to pray for him all day long. I got a text last night saying, praise God, surgery went well. Love it. And it's a small story, but prayer is power. Like, what would happen in our lives if we actually believed it and lived it? That I'm going to start praying for the things that I maybe know I ought to be praying for already. I'm just not doing it because I'm stubborn, or I'm not doing it because I don't have time, or I'm not doing it because I'd rather do something else. But we get to see here that Moses knew the power of it, and he started living it. And then Joshua 1:9. So fast forward to Joshua is now leading the nation of Israel. He's going to lead them into the promised land. And God says something to Joshua. And he says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you?" He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And sometimes maybe you need to hear that for something that God is maybe asking you guys to do today. Because as I said before, this life that you and I have been called to as a follower of Christ is all in or it's nothing. It's all in or it's nothing, guys. And maybe that's why he said, be strong and courageous, I don't know. But then my favorite part is that last part. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I love that because as it relates to leaving a legacy, I need people in my life to say that to me as well. Not just knowing the truth and the power that God is with me wherever I go, but I need people that can influence me and allow me to see, hey, I'm with you. I'm in this with you no matter what. And to feel the power of that is pretty incredible. And as I kind of transition here, I know I'm going to use a few examples as it relates to parenting. So if you don't have kids, or if you're not a parent, or if you have kids that are out of the house and you don't feel like a parent anymore, whatever the situation might be, don't tune out, please. Here's why I know it's still applicable for you, because you still have God as a parent to you. God parents us still. And so these principles are across the board. So don't you dare tune out if you think, oh, this isn't for me anymore because he's just talking about parenting, because that's not the case. But I brought two pictures along with me to put a few disclaimers out there, because I don't want you guys to get the picture that I'm the perfect parent or that I know what I'm doing, because I clearly don't know what I'm doing. And these pictures will show you maybe why. It's just something to laugh about. But every year our family gets together and we take pictures, and all the cousins, and they were little. But my daughter is the one that's crying, and you just see the cousins are just staring at her like, what is she doing? But she didn't like getting a picture taken. As a parent, do you ever have those moments like, oh, I can't control them, and I feel awful and as a parent because I just don't know what to do anymore? This was one of those moments where we kind of felt a little embarrassed, like all the other babies are sitting still looking great, and mine is the one that can't smile and just sit still. And, you know, we could kind of brush that off, because it was just like, this is just one picture, right? And then 2 years happened, and then my second, same family, cousins are a little older, and mine is the only one crying and screaming and has the same exact face that Addie does too. So we have a trend that we have to follow, that every time our families take pictures, our kids are going to be the ones that cry. So that's just joking, but for real, that's my disclaimer. I'm not the expert, but what makes me feel comfortable in saying the things that I can say is because I know what I'm going after. Not because I've done it or I know it better, but I know where I'm going and I know what I'm going after. And the same is true for you too, as it relates to these truths and these principles. And so as it relates to parents, I think we go to the extreme sometimes. And if you're a parent, maybe make me feel like I know what I'm talking about. Parents, do we go to the extreme sometimes when it comes to raising our kids? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay, maybe I'm off base here, but there's a story that I love to share, because I saw this once, and this is, granted, I wasn't a parent at the time, but I lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and every day on my way to work, I would pass a train museum. It's also a train station as well. This wasn't just any train station. This is actually where the Thomas the Train lives, like the actual life-size Thomas the Train. So people would come from all over to look at Thomas, to see Thomas the Train. You could actually take a ride on the train. And so it was a big ordeal, which made traffic a bear on the way to work. But there was this one day, I'll never forget it. I'm stopped there because a train is coming. And I saw it because I knew I saw him probably three times a week. I see Thomas coming, and there's a few cars ahead of me. I see this dad just frantic, getting out of his car, opening up the back doors, getting all of his kids out of his car seats, and holding them up as high as he can, just so they can see Thomas the Train. By the time that he got him up in the air, he was long gone, and it took him way long, and there was this massive line of cars behind him, and I was a little like, really? Did you just do that? Did you really, like, you could have just went to the train museum right there and saw him, but you took the time on the middle of the road to get out of the car and hold him up. But as parents, sometimes we go to the extreme. So I like talking in this context because we do that. I remember when I first had a kid, it kind of just hits you in the head with a 2x4. It's like, oh, this is real. You know, we think we know what we're doing, but we don't at all. But I believe this with all my heart, that when it comes to parenting, I believe it's one of the most heroic things you can do. And why I love talking about this in the context of leaving a legacy, because it's so practical. But I wanted to share with you guys this morning three basic truths and three basic principles that God's been teaching me. And honestly, if you have kids that are pre-K and under here, you might recognize some of these, because we teach these things back here on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. By the time that your kid has left pre-K, we want them to understand these core truths and these core principles. And so you might be saying, well, why are you teaching these in here? Because I believe that they're the most important things in the world. So the first one I wanted to start with is this: God made me. And you can understand how simple that is, but when you're thinking about leaving a legacy, we can't start until we know this in the heart of hearts. Do you believe with all your heart that God has made you, that without a maker, life has no meaning? Without a creator, without a maker, Joshua, why would you go to battle? Why would you fight for something that you don't believe has a meaning for? And you can ask the same question in your life. Why get up every day if I don't have a purpose, if I don't have a meaning? And I know that for me, the meaning is that I have a life that I'm living, and it's not mine, it's for him. And it's his plan and his agenda, and I have a purpose. Purpose comes from our Creator and not from whatever feels right. And our kids are growing up in a culture, in a day and age, where they're being taught that whatever feels right is okay. Whatever you want is the best way. And that is so not true. We need to be teaching the people, not just our kids, but the people around us with our lives, that you and I were created by an incredible maker, by an incredible creator who cares for you and has given us purpose. Genesis 1:26-27 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created the male and female, he created them." Church, we have our identity, and it's in Christ and Christ alone. Our purpose is in him. I love this quote. This is a quote from Paul Tripp, and he's talking about the first parents, Adam and Eve. And he says this, "Immediately after creating Adam and Eve, God talks to them. He didn't do this with anything else he created. He simply rested and moved on. Why did God talk to them? God knows that even though Adam and Eve were perfect and perfect people living in a perfect relationship with him, they could not figure out life on their own. They were created to be dependent. God had to explain who they were and that they were to do with their lives, what they were to do with their lives. They did not need this help because they were sinners. They needed help because they were human. This is the first instance of personal ministry in human history. The wonderful counselor came to human beings and defines their identity and purpose." So if you're questioning at all what your purpose is here today, why am I living this life? Whatever I'm going through, I just can't deal with it anymore. The answer is that you have a creator who made you in his image and in his likeness, and he has a purpose for you, and it's to be dependent upon him and him alone. Because we can't do this, church. We can't do it alone. I don't want to be teaching my kids that they can muster up their own strength. I don't want to teach my kids that they can figure it out and do it all on their own. Now, yes, I want to teach creativity and ingenuity, and that's a beauty of what God has given us. But as a foundational truth, I want them knowing that they have a creator and a maker, and God has made them. Second one is God loves me. I want to teach the people around me by the way that I live. I want to teach the kids that are in my home, by the way that I live, with this truth in mind, that God loves me like crazy. So I don't love Addie because I, Jordan Damon, can muster up enough love to love my kiddos. I can only do it because I've experienced the true love of my Lord and Savior. And he's crazy about you. Numbers 6, 24 to 26 says this, says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Did you hear that? That's how our God sees you. That's how our God sees us. He loves us like crazy. I don't know why, because I mess up all the time. But I know that's the truth of how he sees me. And I want to demonstrate that to the people around me. And I think a way to explain this, I don't know if you have held a newborn baby recently. But there's actually research been done on this that maybe you guys can answer me back. But if you are holding a baby and you smile at the baby, what usually happens? Will they smile back? If you make a frowny face, they're gonna make a frown back at you. There's this thing, it's called attunement. It's a real thing that these babies see something and they just kind of make the same face. And I can't help but think as it relates to parenting that the face that I show to my kids day in and day out, they're gonna know whether or not that they are a delight or a disappointment. They're gonna see in my face how I see them. And I pray that we would see our lives, the people that we're around, they're watching you and they can see everything about, we humans are good at reading emotions sometimes. We can see what's going on in their lives. And I want them to see that there's been a legacy in my life that started way before. And I want to show them the love of Christ through how I live and through how I act. So that's number two. The third one is that Jesus wants to be my forever friend. And again, these may seem so simple, and you're like, well, why are we talking about this? But it's so true and so important, church, for us to remind ourselves of daily, because I think we too often forget these foundational truths. John 3:16, we should all know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we know that he wants to not just be a friend for a short time. He wants to be a friend forever. That gives me hope. I'm so excited about that. And I can't wait to tell my daughter that this is a forever thing. This isn't just a short time. That when one day when she grows up, when her boyfriend is no longer her boyfriend and she's like torn, like, well, I get to tell her and remind her again of a relationship that lasts forever, not one that's just for a short time. Ephesians 5:1-2, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. That's how he sees us. That's how he sees you and me, as dearly loved. And so again, this foundational truth that Jesus wants to be my friend forever, how that pans out in my life, it changes how I live when I believe that with all my heart. When I know that he wants to be my forever friend, it changes how I interact and how I respond to the people around me. And the interesting thing is sometimes we can get by thinking that they learn this in certain environments, not just our kids, but ourselves too. They think, well, I go to this conference to learn this, or I go to my home to do this, I go to school to do this, and we can compartmentalize things sometimes. But our kids are learning this, not in a classroom, they're learning it in the living room. And so the challenge for the parents that are in here, the challenge for those that, even if you don't have kids, but in the legacy that you're leaving with the people that are around you, it happens everywhere you're at. Primarily in the places like a living room where life happens, where life is real. That's why we love promoting and encouraging grace groups here, life groups, because we want you to be doing life with like-minded believers in a living room type setting where we can be real and honest and be teaching these core principles as well that Jesus has set in place for us. And our kids need to know that we're there. They need to know that you care. And you don't have influence in your family. You don't have influence in your community because you're right. You have influence in your family and your community because you care. And too often, I think in our culture, in our day and age, we're all about being right. we're all about making sure our stance is right. But how often do we go into those moments trying to allow people to see that I just care? And that gives me an opportunity in a moment to share the love of Christ that I have in me with them. And so instead of trying to be right with your kids, or instead of trying to be right in your workspace, try to show that you care. Parents, love your kids irrationally. Discipline them diligently. Don't give up, because there's too much on the line for you to give up now. And something humbling that I need to think of is trying to think of what my kids will become someday. And I get to teach the family dedication class here. And one of the questions that I ask parents, if you had to think of 3 or 5 words that you would try to describe that your kid later on, so their kids are little now, but if you were to use 5 words that would describe your kids when they're out of your house and into college or whatever, what words would you want to choose? It's this whole idea of forcing us to think with the end in mind, keeping the end in mind. And as followers of Christ, we need to do that, church. We need to keep the end in mind. But who he or she is then, as it relates to my kids, if I'm talking about my kids now, who he or she is then is connected to who I am now. Who the people, the kids in your life, or the people that are around you, who they are then is connected to who you are now. And so the challenge for us is now, not trying to figure out who I could be or who I should be, but what am I now? Who am I leaving a legacy for, and what is my legacy going to be? So I asked you that question at the very beginning. I asked you, who's left a legacy in your life, and what legacy you're leaving. And as it relates to that, I think sometimes we lose perspective, and sometimes we don't think through that lens. We don't think of that because we get so caught up in what we're doing. We get so caught up in what we think matters more. And something that just happened recently allowed me to see this a little better, but this was like a few weeks ago, but there was like 2 weeks at our house, the Damon family, we were all sick. We all had the flu. And it was awful. Throw up everywhere and no sleeping. And it was rough. And then this one night, we feel like that we're going to go to bed and wake up, and the next morning it's just going to be all better. We feel like we're all on the mend and things are going to get better. And then 1 o'clock in the morning comes, and our youngest, Hudson, is not sleeping. And he doesn't go back to sleep, which is so frustrating. Man and I are just so tired, and we just want to get back to bed. And I have to admit, this is not a very proud dad moment, because I went up there to go put Hudson back down to sleep to make sure he'd sleep that night. But I lost it that night. I didn't hit him or throw him or anything like that. I was angry. My attitude was awful. And I knew what my heart was in that moment, and I was not happy because I just wanted to sleep. I was so tired and so exhausted, and he wasn't sleeping. So eventually he went down, but my heart was not right. And then he woke up early that morning again, but at that time it was light outside. We went back up, and we noticed that he had hives all over his body. He was swollen everywhere, he couldn't even open his eyes. And I felt like the worst parent in the world, because I went up there so ticked off that my son wasn't sleeping and that I wasn't getting any sleep. And it's just that my point is that too quickly we can forget the things that matter the most. Too quickly I forgot that there's a reason my son was crying. I just needed to figure out why. But I didn't take the time to do that. And so I made a list of some things as it relates to things that we ought to remember. And this is just my list. It's not the list. It's not the best list. But it's my list of a few things that we need to remember in our lives as it relates to leaving a legacy in our family and in our lives. The first one is this: what matters more than anything is that my kids have an authentic relationship with God. I need to remind myself of that constantly, because I can lose sight of it and get caught up in ministry, get caught up in life and reaching other people or getting together with friends or making sure we hang out with our family or whatever it might be in your life. I get so caught up in doing those things that I forget that's one of those things that matters most. Another one is, all my children need to know that I will never stop pursuing them or fighting for a right relationship with them. Maybe you have kids that are grown up and older and you don't have a right relationship with them. Don't stop. Keep fighting for that relationship. That is a priority that makes priority on my list here too. A third one is my personal relationship with God and with my wife affects them more than I realize. As they're watching, my wife and I, due to this thing called marriage, they're watching and it means more to them than I could ever imagine. And I need to be careful as a husband and how I'm leading my family in that way. Another one here is just being together can never substitute for interacting together in a healthy way. I'm guilty of this all the time. I'll go into the playroom playing with my kids and pull out my phone and check an email or check a text, and I'm not with them, and they know that. Or whether I'm in the car and I just don't want to talk to my kids, so I'll just turn on the music really loud and they'll just sit in the background. Like, those are good opportunities where I can be pouring and investing into my kiddos. So as it relates to your life, what are those moments that you're choosing to just turn on a radio or choosing to check your emails when you know you can be influencing and impacting someone else that's close to you? And then the last one that I put down, again, this is my list. A mother and a father are not the only adult influences that my children need. I know my kids are young, but I want to make sure that I'm surrounding myself, our family, with other people that are going to be pouring God's truth into them. Because there's going to be a day where they're not going to want to listen to me. Right now they have to. But there's going to be a day where they're not going to want to. And I want to make sure that the people that are in their lives would say the same things that I say too. So who are the people that you're surrounding yourself with? And after reading these again, there's this common thread that ties them all together. And it's one word, it's relationship. Relationships matter so much. And I know I'm talking in this context of kids, and I get to lead all these kiddos back here, your kids. It's a joy and honor to do that. But to wrap things up and with one of the stories here, if you guys can turn to Joshua chapter 10. I already mentioned this story earlier, but I'll dive into it a little bit more. It's more well known as the sun stands still story, where Joshua prays that significant prayer for the sun to stop. But I wanted to give you some backdrop here. Instead of reading the whole chapter, go to verse 8, chapter 10, verse 8. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I love that again. He has this common trend of saying, do not be afraid, do not be terrified. But I've given them into your hands. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. That's what every commander wants to hear before he goes into a battle, right? Don't worry, you're going to win. Joshua heard that news before he even started the battle. And I think it's important to understand that. And then if you go to halfway through verse 12 and 13, there's his prayer. He says, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. Well, I love that story. And what I think is one of the most significant things and parts of that story is that, again, Joshua didn't pray a prayer based off of his desire to win a battle. He prayed a prayer based off of a promise that God had given him. Church, we can't miss that. Joshua is living his life based off of promises that God has already given him. What are the promises that you already know in Scripture that our God has given you? Pray those prayers. Live over his promises. The story is not about Joshua. The story is about how God can reign, and he has a plan much greater than you and I could ever imagine. I'm going to invite the band to come on up as I close, but I'm trying to tie these things together back to the three foundational truths that I talked about earlier. When we know that God made you, and trying to connect these back to Joshua and his life, but when we know that God has created you and made you, we don't question our purpose, which is why I like to think that Joshua was able to stand firm, was able to pray a prayer like that. Because he understood what his purpose was. He understood who his creator and maker was. I want my kids growing up knowing their purpose, so that when they're in a hard situation like Joshua was, even though he knew that he was going to win the battle, it's still a difficult situation because he saw his men not winning the battle in the moment. But he clung to a promise that God had already given him, saying, I know my purpose, and my purpose is to run and cling to him and to trust his promises in my life. When I'm reminded that God loves me, it gives me the confidence. And I think of a child being cheered on by a mom or a dad on the sidelines when you're at their sporting activities or whatever, right? I remember being in sports and just looking at the sidelines, seeing if my mom and dad were there. You know, if they were talking to someone else, I'm like, oh, you're supposed to be watching me, you know? But if they're clapping and cheering me on, I'm like, yes! I get that kind of picture. So when you know that God loves you, it gives you the confidence you need to live the promises that he's already given you in your life. And then lastly, when we know that Jesus wants to be your friend forever, I spend more time with my life pouring into the eternal than I do with the immediate. When I know the truth and I live the truth out that he wants to be my friend forever, I make sure that I adjust my schedule to do things that would invest in the eternal and not the immediate, guys. What do you need to do in your life today that has everything to do about his plan and not yours? What needs to change in your schedule? What needs to change in your itinerary to show that my life is completely committed fully to him? Because that's what he asks of us. He doesn't ask for a little bit. He asks for all of it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. Whatever that thing is, I think you might know it. Whatever that thing is that you think he's calling you to, live that verse out. Look at Joshua's life. I'm pretty sure he was scared and terrified. But he knew this one truth, that God was going to be with him wherever he went. So if you're asking what is the key to success, that's it in my mind. We need to learn to leverage the things that we have. We need to learn to love the people that are in our lives the way that Christ has first loved us. When I'm thinking of, I'm just so honored to be in charge of the kids ministries back here, and I'm blessed by the volunteers that we have as well. I made a short list of all the things, all the people, the jobs that we have, of people that they do in the kids ministries. We have CPAs, we have CEOs, we have bank managers, we have engineers, we have lawyers, we have teachers, we have moms and dads and grandparents and teenagers and college students. All of those people, and I know I missed some. We have all different kinds of people serving back in our kids' ministries. God can use anyone for his glory. He's asking for us to say, use me as you see fit. So I'm going to do something a little different this morning. And if you guys can pull this out, there's something in your bulletin that would look like this. If you don't have a pen, don't worry. On your way out, there's pens out there. But we're asking you, I'm asking you to say yes to a conversation. On the back of the card, you'll see that there's different opportunities, and especially in our kids' ministries, where you could serve. But I'm encouraging you to say yes to a conversation about serving somewhere here at Grace Church. Because in my mind, that's a great start in leaving a legacy somewhere with someone else in your proximity. And I believe this is true as well. Proximity changes perspective. You might be saying right now the dozens and dozens of excuses why you shouldn't do that. Haiti is a good example for me. I had this idea of what Haiti was, this poverty-stricken country was, until I went there. And I went there and it changed everything. So some of you are saying, well, I could never be a small group leader. I could never be an overseer. I could never be on the welcome team here. I challenge you to just go and do it. And keep saying that verse. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Our students and our children are growing up in a world where anything goes, and they need mentors. They need people in their lives that are pointing them in the right direction. They need people that are smiling at them so they can smile back. So my challenge to you is to write your name down, write your phone number and your email, and on the back in each of the aisleways, you can actually find there's a little column there of carabiners hanging on a screen, and there's a hole punch in your card. Just go back and grab a carabiner and put your name right on there, hang it, and we'll follow up with you guys, or you can just put it in the basket if you want as well. One of our staff or myself will follow up with you to say yes to a conversation about what are the options of how I can get plugged in here at Grace Church. Thank you guys for listening and for allowing me to be here to teach about what it means to be a legacy according to God's word. Let me pray for us as I close out. God, we thank you so much for the legacy that we've seen in Moses and Joshua, that we've read in today. God, I pray for the lives of those that are here in this room right now, that we would understand that this life is about something so much greater than you and I could ever imagine. This is a story that you are writing, you have been writing throughout history, and you're continuing it now. And I'm just blessed and honored that I get to be a part of it. God, I pray that we might be encouraged and challenged enough where we can say, God, there's some areas of my life where it's not yours. Or there's some areas in my life where I feel like you might be calling me to, and I just can't wait to see how you're going to grow me through that process. So move in us that we might see what that might be, God, and we might say, God, I'm fully yours. My hands are open, and I reign this truth in my life that, God, I know you're going to be with me wherever I go. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.